guys, what's up? Trying to get started on time here. So, what is up, everybody? Happy Sunday. We just watched Happily Ever After, and it's a pretty good episode. Episode four. Gonna hold off a bit for Kara and Didi to join. Hey, Coco, Puff, hi. Think Kara's coming. Didi's getting ready. Hello, everybody. I hope everybody had a good weekend. I feel like it went by fast, right? It kind of went by fast. So we're gonna jump into this Happily Ever After episode, which was kind of crazy. There was a little drama in there. There was typical Jasmine Gino stuff. But we're gonna get into that. And how is everybody doing? Hey, Kara's here. Didi should be here in a sec. So I'm ready to jump in. I got my notes. Actually, I got locked out of my other phone because I kept putting in the wrong passcode, so I might not have my notes, just to be honest. All right, Kara's here, so somewhere is Dee Dee. Don't know where. There she is.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I can't complain whatsoever. Oh, DB's
Well,
here too.
I can complain, but nobody wants to hear it.
What's wrong? Is it weather related?
I'm freezing.
Hey.
How cold is it? Hey.
Right now it's up to, we're having a heat wave. We're up to 42.
Oh, wow.
I'm just
That's
cold.
cold. It
Oh,
was
that's a
like
heat wave view.
Yes.
it was like 80 something today.
Well, it's weird because day before yesterday it was 77. And then
Oh, that's like
yesterday,
that was like what we were.
and then yesterday it was 33 and snowing. And now today
Oh,
we're up to
so
42.
that's how people get
I
sick.
know.
That's so well,
Yeah.
my phone's not working, so I don't have my notes, so we're gonna wing it. I don't, why is my phone not working, by the way? I don't know what's going on.
Because it's just been one of those days today.
Yeah. Yes, girl. Yes.
What's going on? Like it's been weird. So I want to talk about the Catholic Church and witches, right? So we watched Ashley and Manuel go to church, which I guess it was her first time in a church. And she was a little confused. She didn't know what the Bible was. She didn't
She
really
put on a
know.
good act.
Well, yeah, because I can't imagine that she doesn't know what a Bible is, because if you've been to a hotel in the last 25 years, there's like one in the hotel room. Like everybody sees it. When you open the drawer to make sure there's no tarantulas in your room, you see the Bible, right? Like that's like the first thing you notice. So she was trying to make it seem as though the Catholic Church is like the root of like a lot of her work that she gets, right? Like, 'cause she said that she works with people with religious trauma. And I don't know, I can kind of fit into that. I understand the religious trauma. I have a lot of religious trauma. I was in therapy for a while from the trauma I got from church. So I totally understand that part of it. But the fact that, wait, they spoke English to one another in church. Yeah, well, I think that what we're realizing is Manuel can understand a little more English than he's leading on. And the pastor or the priest or whatever, he
What we've
spoke.
been saying this whole time.
Yeah, I think that he's letting it slip out a little bit more now that he's able to understand a little bit more. But I want to talk about this witch thing. So I want to put aside the fact that it's Ashley and she's an annoying human being. I want to like put this in like a human perspective. Like, say you are a parent and your child brings home a woman or man who is a witch. And I want to get like your response to that. Like, is this gonna be an issue for you? Because I was raised in a super judgmental religion, so I don't know. I'm not against it though. I do a podcast, The Medium Sessions, where I literally work with a psychic medium, a clairvoyant medium. So I have no issue with it. But like, how would you react if someone brought their new wife for you to visit and they introduced themselves as a witch? Let's put aside the fact that she's not a witch. But I just want you, like the thought of that situation, how would you feel?
Well, if it was a real witch, that's fine. And if I had my suspicions, I would introduce them to Dee Dee and let her take over.
And I would definitely let you know. If one of my children were to bring home someone, I would have to pick up the phone and call my best friend.
Who's a witch,
I would need
right?
to know their I would need to know their name. I need to know everything. I don't even have to know all that. All I need is just their first name is all I need.
So what would you do? You would do like a background check? Is
I would call my best friend and she would tell me exactly what's up.
Oh, so you would want to know if they're a good witch or a bad witch. Is that what you're saying? Like you would
Good
want to
witch,
know.
bad witch, or if they even a witch at all, because a lot of
No,
people
it's
walk around here saying they're witches and clairvoyants and all this, and they're full of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, we learned that from Ashley. Like we're learning that you can claim to be a witch without actually being a witch, you know? And she told the priest that she worked with tarot cards, which the priest actually was very disgusted basically with that part of it. He said that it's okay for you to be a witch in certain aspects, right? Like they don't focus on the dark side. And I do remember, I've read the Bible many times, they did talk about like a religious discernment person who basically a psychic, but they use it for the good, the good in helping people. That was in the Bible. So I know for a fact that you can have these type of gifts. It depends on what you use it for, you know, religion speaking. So I think that the part that she's involved with, I think she said tarot card reading and astrology, those were the no-nos for the Catholic Church. Or whatever. Wait, are either of you Catholic before we continue this conversation?
I'm not.
Okay, good. Before I don't want to offend anybody because I'm not Catholic, right? I'm not like any necessary like particular religion. I had a lot of religious trauma, so I kind of just I believe in it and that's all. Like I don't get too like into that, but I do believe that it's very possible for a person who's religious to be with a person who's a witch. I think that depending on the type of the magic or black magic that you use in practice, it doesn't necessarily make you counteractive to a person's religion, right? I feel like it's very possible for people to be able to coexist in that, right? Like I have friends, like I told you, I have a friend that's a psychic medium and we get along really well. We talked on the phone for 2 hours today. Like, and we just talk about, you know, her take on things that are going on and her clairvoyant way of looking at things and looking at pictures and telling me what she sees. Like I can totally coexist with that. So I don't know if the way that she wants to introduce herself to his family and make her job a thing, I don't know if that's necessary. But she had a good point. If you're introducing yourself to someone for the first time, it's very normal to ask what they do, what you do for a living. You know, like if somebody is introducing themselves to me, that's one of the five questions I'm gonna ask them. Like, well, what do you do? And I think that that's normal. So how do you feel about her maybe lying about it? Because he feels like she should lie about it.
But she also said, I don't just go around saying I'm a witch, but she said it 133 times in this episode. So,
Well, she does advertise that she's a
all
witch, you know, when she
of,
introduced, yeah, when she introduced.
a true legit witch, a true legit witch will never ever say they're a witch.
What do
So,
you mean?
they
So,
don't. Because they don't go around saying that they're witches. They don't go around saying the things that they do. You know what I'm saying? So for her to go around and just blunt out, just tell everybody that she's a witch, that she does this, that she does that, I mean, that right there is letting me know that it's a lie, because no witch, whether they a good witch, bad witch, whether they do good and bad, they will never ever come out plant like out forward and say, I'm a witch. They don't do that.
interesting. So why do you think it's so important for her to express that she's a witch to people? Like, what is the deal with her? Like, why does she want people to know that?
Maybe it's because she wants the attention. Maybe it's because if his family knows that she's a witch, maybe they will be scared not to like her. Because whenever people are saying that they're a witch, they know a witch or whatever, it's like they like that kind of reaction that they get. Well, I mean, Who wouldn't? I mean, who's not going to have a reaction? I mean, I didn't even know that my best friend was a witch until we were friends for like probably about 3 years.
Really?
I didn't even know.
No.
Is that does she practice witch as like her only job, or is it like a side thing that she does?
Now it's her only job. It is now, but in the beginning, like a few years back, no, it was just her side job, just people that she knew, she would do stuff. And then is how I found out is she called me one day and she told me, she was like, "You're fixing to take a trip." And I was like, "Yeah." She was like, "Don't go." I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Really? Just don't go." Yeah.
So she was telling you something bad was going to happen on that trip.
Yeah.
Did you go on the trip?
No. I listened to her.
Okay, good. Because
I listened.
Well, yes.
But I didn't know. I mean, because I know some people. I mean, I do know other people that are, you know, they're clairvoyants. So, and I know some people that they can, you know, they can feel or feed off energy of people. Remind you now, I grew up in Mexico, so I have been around a lot of good witches, bad witches. I've seen things that would freak you out. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? So I think she was scared to open that up. But once she, you know, realized that, hey, it is what it is, you know, I'm used to seeing stuff like that, she started like gradually, you know, opening up. Now I knew that she did the tarot cards, but just because they read tarots doesn't mean they're a witch.
Yeah, so that makes she sense. Did read the cards. See, I have a friend, well, actually two friends, they are psychic mediums, and I know it's gonna sound crazy, I think I'm crazy, but like when I'm about to get on a plane, I send a picture of the plane to them. And then a few people that are boarding with me, just like as a last resort. And what I ask them to do is to read the plane, you know, because they can see like the future, to make sure that it's in one piece. And then like a couple of the people in line, like I ask them, can they see them tomorrow or can they see them in the future? Just to make sure, because I'm kind of freaked out by airplanes sometimes. And every now and then I'll get like a really weird gut feeling about something, and I'll be like, well, let me just send a picture real quick. And they're like, oh no, the lady holding the baby, I can see her baby older. So they're like, it's totally fine, nothing's gonna happen or whatever, because they'll be like, yep, I looked, she's like, I can see that baby as an adult, or she says like, I can see that plane, it's being washed and de-iced, and wherever you are there's no ice, so it's clearly gonna make it where you're going, you know. So I kind of do reach out every now and then, like I'm not like super superstitious, but every now and then I'll get like a weird vibe and I'll be like, I just want to make sure, because I don't really have to get on this plane, you know, like, I don't have to, I could totally go back home, it's not that serious. So yeah. I get that, and you know, I think that at this point, I want to talk about Newark in New York. So Manuel has been in the U.S. for a year, and he didn't know the difference between Newark and New York, which isn't what got me. I think what got me was, hey, Geek in the Kitchen. I think what got me was his family is located in Newark, and I feel like he should know where his family is, yeah. Right? Like, I know that I have family in New Orleans, Chicago, San Diego, California. Like, I know where it is. I don't necessarily have ever been to these places. You know, but I know where it is. So the fact that he thought that they were in New York, and he kept saying they were in New York, and then when they sent him the address, it was in Newark, New Jersey, which is a completely different state, right? Like, I get that they're close in proximity, right? I get that. But it's not the same thing. So if you're very tight, very close with your family, I feel like you would know what state they live in.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Like, this really caught me as strange. I was like, you would know where these people live. I don't care if you've never been there. I don't care if you just moved to this country. You should have known that they live in New Jersey when you were still in Ecuador.
Yes.
Right? Like, I feel like that's just something that stands out to you. When somebody tells you where they are, it stands out to you. You don't just, and I get that the words sound the same, and I get that he's trying to pull off the fact that he can't speak or understand English, but I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I get that Newark and New York If you say it really fast or you got a Boston accent, you might get it mixed up. I totally get it, but I just don't buy what he's selling.
I don't either. At all. I haven't bought it from the beginning.
So what's the deal?
Well, I guess we're just going to see how Ashley acts whenever he sees his wife face to face.
Yep.
So is he hiring a new family? Like, because that was the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, did he hire a new family and the family happened to be in New Jersey, not New York? Like, what are the odds that it's time for her to finally meet the family he wanted her to have nothing to do with because it was private, and now the family lives in a different state?
And like, the family's going to reel it back because they're in on this. They're all in on this. So whatever he says is what's going to happen.
I mean, yeah. I think that all he needs is about 20 minutes to debrief them, you know, and they'll act accordingly because they're not stupid to what's going on. Like you said, They know why he's here. They know why he's with her. They know the situation. They understand. All he needs is like 15 minutes. Like, look, she's going to be here. This is the story that we're going with. Act accordingly. You know, like, don't screw this up for me because this is going to help us all. You know, don't screw this up for everybody. You know, like on RuPaul's Drag Race, don't F it up. Right? Yeah. We got one shot. Don't F this up for us.
That's probably why he keeps telling her not to say she's a witch.
Yep.
But if they know this is all a way to get him over here, to get him citizenship, doesn't matter if she's a witch because they know that he's not in it for the long term.
Yes, right? It matters because if she was a real witch, then she would already know that he's full of shit, that this is his family.
Yeah, you're right.
He doesn't even know who the hell his family is. Not only does he not know who they are,
he doesn't know where they live. And everybody, and I think it's crazy because he was trying to get a motorcycle so he could go visit them in New York. He literally said to the motorcycle salesman, I will be riding this back and forth to New York. He didn't. So I'm beginning to think there are people in New York. Maybe that's where his wife is at. Like, he didn't just come up with New York on his own.
Yeah.
Right? I know that for a fact. And the fact that his friend, the friend that we met earlier in the season, Ashley said that she flew him to Rochester, do you remember? To make him feel more comfortable the week that he arrived in the U.S. She had to have purchased a ticket from somewhere. She didn't notice that he was flying out of Newark and not LaGuardia or JFK. Like, I feel like there's a lot of in-between-the-line stuff. Yeah, they're meeting Jonathan in New York. Is that what's happening? Because she flew Jonathan to Rochester, so maybe Jonathan does live in New York. So that's what I'm saying. I think that there are people in New York, but the people that he wants her to meet or he approves for her to meet, they're in New Jersey. And I think that they're not the same people. They're not, maybe they're extended family, or maybe they're people that are playing along with this that know the full story that are going to make sure that things go smoothly. I don't know. I can't trust this guy, right? Like, this guy, I can't trust him. I can't find any good in him. I can't find any honesty in him. I feel like he's just a real snake, right?
Yeah, very much.
He's on a 20-year contract. He's got to hang in there for a little while longer.
They've known each other for 10 years, so they're halfway through, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're halfway through. Like, this is it. They've known each other for 10 years already, and she doesn't even know his kids. She don't know his family. So he's already made it halfway through without letting her. And I feel like she weaseled her way in. Like, she demanded, you know, that she met the family. So I feel like this is kind of putting a damper on his plan. I mean, it's still going to work fine because all they have to do is act accordingly.
You know what would be funny? If I could get my best friend and Ashley to come on the live and let's see who the real witch is.
Please.
Ashley down fast.
How do you do a witch test? Like, how do you do that? What do you ask?
I don't know if my friend would do it because she don't put herself out there like that.
The way you do it is you bring the real witch on and the fake witch on, mm-hmm. and you see the difference when she calls her bullshit and Ashley has nothing to say and she just lights a bunch of sage and says,
anybody can say. Sage. I mean, you don't have to be a witch to sage. I mean, anybody can sage a house or anywhere.
When Ashley's trying to sage the real witch away and she's still here, then we know.
Okay. I mean, I would like to see that. I mean, I would love to test powers.
Yes.
You know, if that's a thing. Like, I like to figure out who's real and who's not. Because I know the sessions that I do with the medium, you know, I've had other mediums reach out to me and they'll be like, oh, I have questions. You know, I saw, you know, I looked at the same picture of the situation and I saw something different, you know, and I've seen mediums challenge each other. So I would love to see the two witches just go at it figure out who's the legit witch. I mean, we know Ashley's not a witch because she would have known it was going to rain in Florida in hurricane season. Like, it's Florida. It rains every day.
I'm not a witch, and I knew that.
Well, right. Like, this isn't, like, rocket science. Like,
and
I live
on the other side of the country, as far away as you can get.
I feel like a witch would have known weeks out. Because can't you look at a date? Like, that's how astrology works. You can look at a time period and look in the future, and you can tell what is going on. That's the whole point.
Freaking weather app and have that information.
Well, isn't it funny when Ashley was getting ready for the wedding, the girl doing her hair or whatever was like, have you actually looked at the Doppler radar? Because she's like, I don't really know what's going on. She's like, did you look at the radar? It predicts the weather up to like 24 hours ahead. She didn't even think to do that. Because the girl was like, well, we're less than 24 hours out. Why don't you just look at the radar? It's going to tell you if it's going to be raining or not. She couldn't even figure that out. I'm like, I feel like as a witch, first of all, you wouldn't need Doppler. You wouldn't need anything. You would just know. You know, because witches know.
A witch knows.
They know, and they can warn you and everything. So the fact that she planned a wedding and couldn't figure out if it was going to rain until it started raining, she lost me, right? She completely lost me, and I really wanted to believe she was a witch until 5 seconds after she started talking. And then I realized that this was all BS. I was like, oh, she's just as much of a witch as Kimberly, right? Remember Kimberly? Right. India Kimberly, like, she was a witch too. Well, she didn't want to be a witch, but she was clairvoyant, right? Which, pretty
simple. She ain't no clairvoyant.
That was a lot for me.
I want to
talk about Cameroon men, right? Because the men in Cameroon are questioning whether or not Kobe can deal with a white woman, I guess this is what they keep calling her, an American woman, right? And I feel like they're very, very closed-minded when it comes to women, especially in Africa. In Africa, men, you know, feel that women are to be seen and not heard. They're submissive. And we watched this with Angela. Like, Angela was like, there ain't no chance you're going to get me to act like an African, you know, woman for you, like an African wife. It's never going to happen. And I feel like his friends are really worried about the outcome of their marriage, but it's kind of late. They're three kids in now, and they've been married for going on 3 years. Like, it's kind of late for that. And I get that they are used to a certain way of doing things in Africa, and they're used to, you know, women calling them the king of the house. And they feel like they walk around with a crown and they get to dictate, you know, what goes, and if they want it this way, it's gonna be done that way.
That being said, isn't Kobe royalty over there, supposedly?
He is royalty. We did hear that back before wedding number one.
Yeah. So, and is where this royal family is.
Well, he said that there's no, like, royal court or castle or anything. But, like, in his tribe, his family is considered royalty. I don't remember the full story. But, like, there's no castle. There's no, like, fortune or...
Well, I just feel like if he's royalty, I'm not doubting that. I think Kobe's freaking awesome. I love how he defended Emily. I think he's awesome, but what I don't understand is why he was getting the shakedown at the airport, why he's not, you know, more, whether it's the whole castle and all of that. If you're royalty, you're going to get so noticed, aside from the cameras following you everywhere. It's just not lining up for me.
Well, I think where they landed at the airport, it wasn't their specific tribe area. Like, you know, there's different parts of the land. And I don't think that was specifically that tribe's area. But I mean, people are saying that his dad is like a chief or a tribe leader. So I guess like if every tribe has like royalty or leaders, people that are in charge. I don't know how that transpires or transforms into like, well, you know, when we think of the royal family, we think of, you know, the royal family, and they're very powerful, they're very rich, and God knows if they go anywhere, everybody's gonna notice. So right. That's kind of like our way of looking at it or comparing it, and I don't think it's the same, Because even Kobe said it. He was like, oh, well, yeah, we're royalty, but, you know, there's no, like, kingdom, there's no castle, there's no, like, billions of dollars. It's not, it doesn't equal.
I'm very, very ignorant to all of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I clearly.
Me too. I don't know. I don't understand any of it.
I need to educate myself on it, but it just, I was so shocked by the way he wasn't treated when he arrived.
You know, oh, yeah. Well, they did treat him as though he had more money because they were like attacking him like, oh, we carried your luggage, give us all this money. So they did treat him as though they could get something out of him. So it's almost like they recognized that he was Americanized to some right. point. You know, they realized like, oh, well, this there's money here. You know, he's not just a typical guy from Cameroon. So I did see that, but I didn't see, I mean, the family home that they were in was very nice
yeah.
in comparison to some places we've seen in the past
sure.
on the show. Like, you know, Binium was in a place that was not very nice. You know, his bathroom literally had like dirt, like, and growing grass on the floor. So like his home did look very nice as though they were part of some sort of leadership position. Like, it was very beautiful. The outside was beautiful. The inside was nice. The eating area was very classy and beautiful. So I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely in the same boat as you. I don't know what to expect, and I don't know what this means. I know the only basis we have for royalty at this point is the royal family. And, you know, in every royal family that we've ever come across in history, they live in a castle. And well, they had people guarding them.
I understand that it's different in every country. Everybody's got royalty everywhere. You know, I understand that. I guess I just had it pictured not even where he's at or what he comes from, more so as how he was treated. I just felt like him being royalty, he would have like a straight shot from the airport to his parents' house kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I mean, as dangerous as it could be for certain people over there, you would think
right.
being a tribe leader's son, there would be people there to meet you there to make sure you got there safe.
Right.
You know, like if Taylor Swift landed at the airport, I guarantee you, you're not going to see Taylor Swift walking through the airport.
Right.
There's going to be a team of people who take her somewhere where you can't see her to make sure that she gets to where she's going without anybody bothering her. And I feel like that's kind of what we were expecting.
Right.
And he kind of just landed and he had to shoo the people away himself. You know, there was no one there to protect him, which it was weird. You know, it was very weird. It's interesting for me the way that his family's culture is. They're very accepting, though, like way more accepting than Kobe's friends.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe's friends are very, very close-minded to the idea of him being with anyone other than a traditional African woman. Which, you know, I get it. They're African men. They're probably married. They don't know much else. You know, when you live a certain way, you're raised a certain way, your parents were raised the same way, you don't know a lot more. So seeing and experiencing other ways of life can be confusing.
You know, I think the whole problem is that they watched the last 48 seasons of 90 Day Fiancé and saw Angela. And they were like, just don't do it.
Well,
no white women.
Well, a lot of, well, remember Ari too.
Angela Ari, ruined it for everybody. For every American, for Africa, Angela ruined it.
Every American white woman is horrible.
Ari went over there and caused some trouble too.
Yeah, but
you know,
Ethiopia.
That's in Africa, right?
No.
Where is Ethiopia?
It's not in Africa.
It's not? Okay, I need you to tell me where it is because I thought it was in Africa.
I guess it is. It's in Eastern
okay.
Africa.
Yeah, I know it's okay. in Africa. I don't know.
I stand corrected.
Well, thanks to Ari and Angela, yes. White women can't go to Africa anymore because now they think all white women are bad. Yes.
Well, not just, and it's funny because he kept saying white women, but I'm thinking like, you're just thinking American women in general. You know, like it doesn't fall under any race in America. Women are smart, intelligent, and a lot of them are independent and they make their own decisions and you can't tell her what to do. Even married women who are in a co-relationship with a man or woman, whoever they're with, they still want to make their own decisions. They still want to be able to to do the things that they want to do without being controlled. And I think that over there, they're so far behind, you know, the way that they speak about people that don't look like them. Like in America, we would never say the race and then what they are. Right. Like, we don't refer to people that way. You know, like we're so far ahead. You know, they're still, you know, giving money for their daughter's and son's hand in marriage. And, you know, it's just a lot of craziness going on still. And I think that Kobe's friends got to get out of his ear. You know, I think that Kobe made his decision and they're never going to understand why he's there and what he's put himself into. And, you know, a lot of people might agree with him. You know, they might say that Emily can be a lot, right? I feel like you guys would agree with that, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Emily is definitely a controlling woman. But again, some men like that. You know, like I know a lot of men who like a woman who is kind of controlling and she's outspoken and she kind of is dominating. Like that's something that a lot of men
are into. Yeah, a lot of the men really love an alpha woman these days. They really do. Yeah.
Was obedient and submissive to him when he got to America. You can't come to America and have an obedient, submissive wife and just return to what you're used to, because it's not like that here.
Yeah.
So she had to take the lead to show him how to survive here. And that's just, that's how it is.
I don't get where, like, if you marry into another culture, that culture wants you to learn everything about their culture, but their family, and sometimes even your partner, whether it's a man or a woman, they don't want to learn nothing about our culture, but they want us to learn and act and do things of their culture.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're coming from another country and you're marrying into an American woman, you know, I'll use me for an example. I don't take no shit off of nobody. I do what I want to do, how I want to do it, who I want to do it with, when I want to do it, however many times I want to do it. And you don't tell me nothing. Yeah. That's just how I am. I'm a very alpha woman and I take the role. And if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? That's how I am. So that's what, whenever I was watching that tonight, it was like, that was so aggravating with Kobe's friends because, okay, they want him to have a submissive wife. Well, why don't they try to learn our culture?
Yeah.
No, I agree. And we were seeing this with Nicole. Nicole seems to feel that she can do whatever she want and be herself because she brought him here, so now he's subjected to her culture. And you know, I think that it's really an ignorant way of thinking, because she knew the type of religious Muslim man that he was, and she's like, well, if I can just take him out of his environment, I can change the way he sees the world. And he's a Muslim regardless of where he is, and watching them is just, it really, really boils my blood dealing with the amount of ignorance coming from Nicole alone, right? Like, I'm not a fan.
I'm fine because I don't watch them.
See, good. See, I watch them, and it just makes me so
fast forward it.
She is just so, she has no, you know, the word uncultured. She is so uncultured, and she kind of reminds me of Angela, because she's just like, oh well, I'm an American, and in America, this is a, that's fine. But you went over to another country and found a non-American, and you want to make him an American, and just like he wants to make her a Muslim, y'all are both trying to do the same thing. And I think that that's what they don't realize. They're both trying to convert the other person against their will. Yeah. And they get to me, you know, and there was a scene where she wanted to take him to meet her friends and her back was out. She was wearing a dress and there was like a little hole in the back, so he wouldn't go, obviously. And then next week she's going to bring her friends like to the house and like sneak attack him. And I know this isn't going to go well.
Probably not that he whooped her ass.
Yeah, I know it. I know this is not going to go well. He said he didn't want to go. He said he didn't want to meet them. So she was like, oh, I'll just bring them to the house and attack him, you know, and force him. And I was like, see, this is the type of toxic behavior, right? And don't get me wrong, I don't condone anything. I definitely don't condone what he did. But, you know, I did feel like she was going out of her way to, what's the word? Antagonizing.
Maybe that's why TLC allowed them to come on so everybody could see that what kind of person she really is. Because if you're going to be with someone from another culture, even if you're both of you are an American citizen, and but y'all live two different religions or cultures, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Y'all have to find a happy medium somewhere. You need to respect both cultures, both religions. And the couple of minutes that I did watch them whenever they first come on, I was already seeing that she's not this nice person, that an innocent person that she claimed to be whenever she was over there in his country.
Not at all. I think that you're right. They're airing it to show the side of her, because she was the victim in their first season. You know, she was being controlled. She was told what to wear, what to do, how to act. And, you know,
but I mean, even if she's a dick, let's say she's a complete dick, she still didn't deserve to have her ass kicked.
No, absolutely.
We're not condoning that. No, nobody, no. Whether you're a man or a woman, nobody deserves to be abused in no kind of way.
At all.
I'm saying that I think that's why TLC aired it, because she was going on social media still acting like as if she was like she did nothing wrong. That's what I'm saying. I think they want the world to see that she's not this innocent person that she claims to be, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's
move on from that. And I want to talk about Calum, because we got a little info from Calum himself, actually, because Sophie wasn't going to say anything. So Sophie, Kay, and her friends all got together with Rob, and we met Calum, who Rob thinks is hot. Mm-hmm. And we found out that Calum and Sophie dated. So I wanted to ask you, so Sophie did not mention this. She kept introducing Calum as her best friend that she's known for all these years. Is it wrong that she neglected to say, oh yeah, we used to bang a long time ago? Is that wrong?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So why do you think...
What would you have done if your husband had a best friend and fly across the world to see him and say they were best friends, and then his best friend says, oh yeah, we used to date?
Okay. So I addressed this last week when you asked me how I would feel if my husband had a female best friend, and I said, whatever, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's allowed to have friends. I don't care. But when that friend turns from friend or best friend to ex-girlfriend, shit is gonna hit the fan. You might as well pack and move with her.
That's what I was feeling too. And the fact that she neglected to tell him, she had a lot of opportunities to tell him, hey, just so you know, when we were, I think 16, 17 is what she said, we dated briefly in Portugal or whatever. And the way that he described Portugal, he's like, oh, you know, we had so much fun, and, you know, we were so much closer after Portugal. And then he's like, oh yeah, well, you know, we dated. And I, as much as I want to hate Rob and hate the way that he reacts to things, I do feel like his reaction was a little warranted.
Absolutely.
Because she omitted that, and she wasn't going to tell him. I think Calum loose cannonly told him, you know, she had no real interest in saying that. She never was going to bring it up. And I think that it changes the dynamic of it, because like you said, having a close friend is one thing. If you've never been intimate, you never dated, that's one thing. But having someone fly across the world to see you, and y'all did date, because I don't know, for some reason in the back of everyone's mind, people assume that someone's ex is still fair game. So like, we always in the back of our mind think, well, if you dated them once, you would date them again. It's probably not true, but it's like our own human insecurity, you know?
But what an awkward situation for Sophie. You're literally sitting there with your husband, your new girlfriend, and your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, all at the same pool.
Like, this is so all for show. She's with Kat. She boned Calum. She boned Rob. They're old news. Let's film it. Be done.
So, yeah. Basically, everybody at the meeting.
I would have told Sophie right then and there. I was like, you know what? That's a wrap. I'll be sending you divorce papers
but instead in the mail. Instead, he said, let's hold this tight, go on the last resort, and get some more paychecks.
Well, yeah, they're too deep in now. They have to make this work. And, I mean, at this point, she had been moved out for 2 months, and she's sleeping in the bed with Kay. So what difference does it make if he finds out that she was banging Calum 10 years or however many years ago? Like, does it really change anything? The relationship is already basically done. It's cooked, right? Like, what difference does it make?
Never mind. I ain't going to ask it. I need to stop.
Come on.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I wonder which one wears the strap.
I would venture to guess it's Kat.
Yeah. I would go and, yeah, Kay is probably the one who wears it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into why I came to that realization, but I think.
I got it because she's manlier than Rob.
Yes.
Right?
She's a lot manlier than Rob.
Yes.
She's also a lot cuter.
She's hot. I'm not going to lie. Kay was hot. Yeah. When I was looking at the pool scene, I was like, okay, I get it. I totally get it. Like, I didn't get it when they were laying in the bed. I didn't see enough, and I think they just woke up. But I could see it at the pool scene, what was going on. I was like, I get this, right? Dealing with Rob, and I don't want to, like, go too bad off on him, but he's really insecure.
Yeah.
And I'm totally giving him a pass for the Calum thing. I would be pissed off, too. I probably wouldn't feel here. But in general, he's really insecure, and I think that when you are that insecure, you should work on being a better person and better in relationships so people don't have a reason to doubt you. Because he made a statement tonight where he was like, this guy probably thinks he's better than me. And I was like, that's something that an insecure person would say, because I've never saw someone and was like, they must think they're better than me. Like, I would never, that's not the first place that I would go. I would think, well, I don't think they like me, or I don't think that we'll get along, but I don't just automatically assume someone's better than me because I'm looking at them.
And you're so much nicer than I am because I don't give a shit what anybody thinks.
What? Yeah. I mean, I don't care.
Hey, Scott.
I do care a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Like, when I get comments, I scroll through them. And, like, sometimes when I get, like, the message requests, I do look sometimes. Some of them are really, really mean. You know, but I do scroll through just in case. I'm like, am I ugly? You know, like, what do you think about me? You know, like, what's going through y'all heads? I do that, unfortunately.
I don't. If you got a message request me, then...
Well, right.
Yeah,
if I see on mine
that I have a message request, I don't even go into it because, there's a reason why. I mean, Instagram is making it be a message request for a reason, so I'm not even gonna waste some time. But can we talk about that? Rob said that that from his past relationships, that the best friend was the one that his ex ended up with.
Yeah.
And then what did she say? Oh, that's your other friends. That's not me. Well, lo and behold, they dated.
Yep. Hi, Alice.
He was on point.
He was right. You know, it kills me when anything Rob says is right or accurate. It kills me a little bit on the inside. I die a little on the inside. But he nailed it. He was like, usually when a best friend or an ex pops up, they're going to be a problem. And he was right. This person popping up, but he knew, and we knew too. We were like, so he's flying all the way from the UK to Texas to see his friend. You know, that's something like, I have friends not getting on an international flight to see you. Like, I'm just being honest. I love you and all, but like, I'm not doing that. So he was right. He knew that usually when there's an ex who's willing to do that much for you, there's usually more to the story. And unfortunately, he was right, you know, and it seems to me that Sophie has like a bag of secrets, right? Like every time we undo a layer of secrets with her, there's another layer of stuff that she's hiding. And I'm not saying that.
They both lying to each other. They both hiding stuff. They both, you know what I'm saying? It's
okay. Okay, we need to stop for a half a second and say hi to Scott's beautiful mama, Alice.
Oh.
Hi, Alice.
Hi, Mama Alice.
Hi, Alice.
Thanks for listening. Hey, Scott. So, yeah, this whole situation for me, you know, I know where we're going. Like, we're leading up to it, kind of like with the Nicole and Mock move. We know where it's going. We know where Rob and Sophie is going. They're probably going to break up specifically on this season so they can pop back up on The Last Resort. Oh, I do have one more piece of information that I got 2 days ago. So Mock Mood, I know you don't care. He's in Egypt again. He posted from Egypt on Saturday, Friday night. So everyone is saying, and we know for a fact that he didn't show up. Neither him or Nicole showed up to the tell-all filming. So luckily, I think this will be the last time we see them.
Thank you.
This is a very, I was very happy with the news because I've dug up his Instagram. You know, I don't follow them because why? And I saw that he posted, and first off, I saw that Nicole was no longer following him and he was no longer following her. And then I saw that he posted
that
from Egypt.
Happens with a restraining order.
Oh yeah, you're right. You know what? Social media is still contact.
Yeah.
You're right. And so do you think that instead of filing it and going through with it, they just sent them back? Is that a possibility? Or you think that he left on his own accord?
I'm sure he got.
He probably left on his own because if he would have stayed and went to court like he was supposed to, then he would probably looking at some jail time.
Well, and
yeah, but
also
I got deported. I think once he got arrested, they're like, wait, you're here on a K-1 visa to marry this woman that you abused. We'll see.
Right. And she hadn't filed any status change paperwork. He literally had just gotten right, like this was very fresh, like we were talking less than 3 months, so it's very possible that they sent him back, like because the paperwork hadn't even been filed. So we know that they're probably gone from our screens, probably forever. Fingers crossed, right? I mean, when I saw him post from Egypt and he tagged the location and there was a video of him standing like in the downtown area, I was like, he's gone. This is great. Like, he's gone. I cannot believe. Well, Portuguese princess, I was gonna say probably deported due to criminal activity, but we know Larissa didn't get deported due to criminal activity. You know, she got arrested.
She was really abusive.
I know, so. Right? And that was also domestic arrest, right? And she still made it over to stay. But she was here long enough to get married, and they were here long enough to file her change of status paperwork. I think that's the difference. Once the paperwork is filed, it actually takes more work for them to undo it.
Also, she had an attorney she was sleeping with that fought for her.
Yeah, so. She did have an attorney. I remember that. He was on the show. I do remember that. And then that guy, Eric was paying a lot of money for her legal work too. Remember Eric?
And her plastic surgery.
Oh yeah. He claimed that she was gonna pay him back.
I think
we know how that turned out.
Yeah, right? We know how she paid it back. Just like Jasmine paid Dame back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I wanna ask this question because she keeps saying that, well, she tried to convince his family as well, that it's his responsibility to help bring her kids over. And his family actually agrees. And I know we talked about this, and I still feel like it's a 50-50 thing. Like, I feel like it's not fully on Gino to bring her kids over. And it's not fully, I mean, it is fully on her as her kids. But I think that the way that she's making it seem as though she's gonna really leave him if he doesn't do this. And she did say something in this episode that was interesting. She was like, this is the first time that I really considered going back to Panama. So in my mind, I was going back to all 500 times she screamed that. And I was like, so all of those were BS. Because she said to her best friend, she's like, this is literally the only time I actually really mean I might go back. And then everybody on Twitter was like, where do we send the ticket? Like, we got you. We will send you back to Panama right now. That's what everybody kept saying.
We all know she's crying wolf. She's playing the kid card to get Gino's family on her side, to get Gino to pay that money.
Yep.
That's what she's doing.
She's manipulating the family to try to make him feel bad about the situation. And I feel like that's probably her go-to. You know, she's like, well, I'll make him feel bad. Because let's be real, she could come up with money for different things that she wanted to do. But this particular thing, you know, she can't seem to come up with the money for it. And I feel like this is the most important thing. Like getting her, if she.
Because Dane ain't around to go and let him bang her head up against the headboard. That's why.
If you really wanted to get your kids here, I feel like you would make a way. Like, we know she has OnlyFans. We know that she gets money from the show. She makes it seem like her bank account is stuck at zero. You know?
Yeah, like, but also, this idiot's been saying all along that he knows what he's doing. He did it right, blah, blah, blah. He messed up, and he's trying to not take sole responsibility. Yes, it's her responsibility to make sure the paperwork was right, but when he keeps saying over and over, yes, I've done this, yes, I got it, yes, I've turned it in, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, but you're right.
Questions. He's an idiot. He did it wrong. Should he have to pay? Absolutely. If he doesn't have the money in his $1 million bank account, then maybe he should get his bald ass back to work.
But did you hear his cousin? His cousin Dana said it because he was like, I don't have the money. He turned and he was like, you don't have the money?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, you're freaking lying.
Right.
Like, he's like, so you're telling me you don't have the money? He literally was like, that's BS and you know it. And you might be right. He's trying to prove a point. Like, well, I did it and I made a mistake, but I don't want to admit that I made a mistake, because admitting he made a mistake would be buying or paying and retaining the lawyer.
Yeah.
You have to admit that you screwed up, because he's an immigration experience king. You know, he's so good at doing this paper. I mean, I get it. He's brought a woman here before on one of these visas, so he feels like he's seasoned in it. But this woman clearly didn't have children. And, right. You know, it is very serious to... But, okay, so somebody on Twitter brought up, they were like, so during the interview, did they not bring up her kids? So when she went in for her interview, because, you know, when you file the paperwork, you have to go in for your interview and they ask you a bunch of questions. It's very possible that she brought up the kids at that interview. You would think at that point they would have her file the child petition then, right?
But she wasn't filing anything. That was already filed by Gino. She just had to do the interview to see if she could come. So they ask her a set of questions and she answers it. She doesn't come in and say, this is why I want to go to America, because I need to bring my kids for a better life, because I can't sleep with Dane anymore because he already paid for my ass and I got to move away from him because my boyfriend's getting jealous and I hear that the plastic surgeons in America are better and I can get better lip fillers and all this stuff. They ask her, where are you moving to? Why are you moving? You know, they ask her a serious set of questions and there's no wiggle room. And the only reason I know that is because I watched it with David and Annie. They went over her questions, her exact answers, what she needed to say. Mm-hmm. And then when she came out, he was asking, they did a live on Instagram. Was it this that they asked? Was it that? She says, yes. They ask you a question, you answer it, that's that. And then they move on.
Oh, so there's no conversation. Because no. I was like, well, I thought at one point she would have said my kids. But I guess when they're reading questions off of a script and there's no children on the original application, there's absolutely no reason to ask you about children.
No reason to ask.
So yeah, that does make sense. I mean, so I guess you're right. Gino is 100% to blame when it comes to the fact that he screwed up, because it would have been smarter for him to get a lawyer to do the paperwork, because, you know, we watched a lot of different cast members. Some cast members don't do anything at all paperwork wise. They hire a lawyer from the beginning and the lawyer fills out everything, sends everything in. Cause, you know, when you get a lawyer, they can have things processed faster than if you just mail it in. Yep. So I think Gino's kind of responsible at this point, you know, and if she does go back to, well, she's not, we know the answer to that. But if she was to go back to Panama, he was like, oh, well, I would lose all of my money that I put into this. It's kind of your fault, right? Because you didn't do it right. You know, you didn't file the paperwork right, because now you need to go back and petition to have two children, possibly three, you know, brought in when you could have filled it out properly. And it's like, I don't know what the forms look like. I don't know, like, if, you know, it asks you if they have children or if there's a whole separate form that you need to print out and fill out. I don't know how any of this works. But I know for a fact I wouldn't try to do it on my own. That's the whole point. Like, I wouldn't try to do it on my own. When it comes to anything legal or financial, you know, like loan paperwork, anything. I need help. You know, like if you want to take out a loan, you go to the bank and you have a loan officer help you. You don't go online and just assume that you can do it on your own and hope they're going to approve you and you didn't screw it up. She might have screwed it up. One wrong answer on your application, you screwed it up. They're going to deny you. Yep. And then boom, done. Yep. You know, and that's a hard hit on your credit. And I just don't understand why he took everything into his hands. I get that men have the mansplaining, I know it all attitude when it comes to things, but we don't know everything. Like,
but see, all of a sudden, this last season, the season before the one we're watching, is when Gino developed his backbone that he never had before.
Yeah, well, yeah, he developed it right around the last season after, remember when she attacked him and like took his hat off and attacked him after that?
No, that was like right in the beginning when she threw the toothbrush. What I mean is he developed this backbone after he filed the K-1 visa paperwork. It's like he was so submissive to her all along until he filed that paperwork. And once he filed that paperwork, he's like, okay, now who's the boss?
Yeah, I see that. And I don't know where that came from. Maybe it's because she's on his turf, on her, she's here, and yeah. She has no...
He like, knew that she had to do what he wanted her to do. He got to be this big tough guy because all the power's in his hands. He can stop the K-1 visa process. If you want to come to America bad enough, stop being a bitch, essentially.
Yeah, that's true. The power, when he told her on the other episode, he was like, you're effed up in your stupid effing head.
Yeah.
I was just like, who is this? Mm-hmm. Like, who is this? He would have never spoken to her like that in Panama when he was visiting. So you're right. He has really changed the power dynamic. Yeah. And it's almost to the point where he, I don't want to say is like controlling, but he kind of is. It's like he kind of, when she's crying, it doesn't affect him. Like in the earlier seasons, when he cried, he would be like, please don't cry. I'm so sorry. I won't do this. But when she cries, he just is like, I don't care. Like he has no sympathy for her anymore.
And how she used to treat him. He's giving it right back to her, yeah. So she can see how it feels. He is humiliating her like she used to humiliate him. But he isn't nearly as bad as she's ever been. She has tried every way possible to, what do you call him? Like degrade him, like make him feel less of a man.
Yeah.
She's cheated on him left and right.
Yeah. And admitted it. Like admitted it.
Even said that, I mean, who she was cheating on him with, and said he was better than him in bed.
Yep.
And said they videoed it. Yeah. Like, I mean, there ain't no other way to humiliate him. Like, it's all out there for everyone to see. So maybe he's taking his revenge. You know, maybe he feels like, well, you put me through a lot. You embarrassed me on TV. Now it's your turn.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, and with this kid thing, the way she went and talked to his family and then they went to look at the pictures and he never even brought up, you know, the conversation he had. Like, she's like, I can't believe, like, he really doesn't care.
Yeah.
And it does make him look cold, you know, because for somebody to leave their kids, you know, I don't want to get into the situation or whatever, but it's still her kids. She's still a mother. You know, that's still going to hurt, you know. I've seen the stories of the women who had to put up their kids for adoption because of different situations because they couldn't take care of the kid. It doesn't mean it didn't hurt.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they don't cry. It doesn't mean that they feel horrible, and there's not a day that goes by that they wish that things were different. You know, and it's like he's looking at it as like, it's your kids, you know, 2 years, deal with it. You know, it's really coming off as really cold.
You can tell he's not a biological parent.
Because when
kids were 11 and 13, there is no way in hell I would have left them for 2 weeks, let alone 2 years.
Well, right. You're right.
That's a miss.
I would have made sure that before I even came over to United States, if I was her, I would have made sure that the children was put on the paperwork where they could come over before I even left. And if he would have been like, no, I didn't put them on there, then I would have been like, well, I'm not leaving. I'm not going.
I would not have got on a plane to America without my children next to me. Plain and simple.
See, that's the weird thing about these visas is when they approve the mom or the dad, the children are later down the line. Like, why is that? Why can't they approve the mom and the children or the dad and the children together? What's the difference? Because
I'll be right back.
where are
Someone's
we?
knocking on my door. I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
Like, where are we at where we're so okay with separating children from their parents?
Yeah,
And they do it. I don't understand
none of
it. And they do it at the border. They do it. It's happening a lot, and I can't understand why. If you're gonna process the citizenship with the mom, you should process the citizenship with the child. They should be conditional with the K-1. If anything goes wrong with the K-1, then they both gotta go back. But it shouldn't be, oh, well, you get here and then you worry about your kids later. I can't imagine what's going through the mind of the parent, because like you said, I don't know a lot of parents who would get on a plane and go to another country and leave their kids behind. I don't know many, right? Like that's a huge ask for people. And we know that, we are going to come across as harsh when it comes to Jasmine, but she's still a mom and those are still her kids, and the fact that Gino acts like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's really cold, and it really does make him come across as he doesn't care about her as much as he let on before she got there, right? Like before she got to Michigan, he was like, oh, whatever you need, I'm gonna make sure you have everything you need. I'm gonna quit my job so I can give you all my attention. I'm gonna give you new clothes. I'm gonna buy all this new stuff. And then when she got here, it was a completely different story. Whatever she complains about, he just brushes it off. It's not that serious. We saw that with George and Anfisa, right? Like it's a power dynamic switch. Like it's kind of like a bait and switch. You make these promises, and then once they get here, you don't follow through with the promises you made. And I feel like that's really bad because they did leave a lot. Like in her situation, her mom, her sister, her kids, her actual boyfriend Dane. Like she did leave a lot. So she's expecting the things she promised to be given to her. And I feel like Gino was like, oh, that was just for me to get you here. That was to butter you up. Now that you're here, deal with it. And I think that's crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, and also Ed and Liz Ron. Yeah, so that's all we're gonna talk about with that. But we're gonna Patrick and Thais will be on next week for episode 5. And Boston John will be on there. So we kind of getting double John because we just got John on the single life forgetting John with Patrick and Thais. And it looks like they're all gonna be going to Brazil together to see her family, which I think is a horrible idea because Thais's dad hated Patrick, so he's really gonna hate John, right? Like I'm just throwing that out. He's really gonna hate him. So I don't know if John is gonna bring Megan with him. So like I don't know how it's gonna go. So we're gonna check out them when they come in. So we're going into episode 5. We still have no Angela and Michael, and we still have no Lauren and Alexi. So I don't know what's up with that. I don't know how many episodes we're looking at this season. And also Bilal and Shida are supposed to be joining as well, which we've seen none of. So I'm assuming Angela and Michael don't have a lot of footage. That's where I'm going.
Or hopefully they just won't be on at all.
I mean, I keep
No,
asking around and people keep saying, oh no, they're still on, they're still on. But they're not in any of the previews for the upcoming episodes. And that's really weird because when the promo for this season was released, it was Angela and Michael as the lead couple.
not.
So now that we keep going farther in, we're gonna be on week 5 next week. They showed the preview for week 5. They weren't in it. They even are introducing Patrick and Thais, another new couple. I don't know. This is really strange. So if they did take them out but left Nicole and Mahmoud in, y'all still didn't do the right thing. You still didn't do the right thing. You're going in the direction of the right thing, but you're still off track. You should have removed them both. But if that is what it is, that's good. It's a step in the right direction, but you still got like 30 steps, to make it right. Because we're still watching, the exact same situation with a different couple. Domestic is domestic regardless of the situation,
Whether it's physical, emotional, mental,
Well,
whatever.
yeah.
Abuse is abuse, and it should not be tolerated.
It really shouldn't. So the fact that Nicole and Mahmoud are there, and maybe it's possible Angela and Michael won't be, it's they still miss the mark. I think that they gotta do the right thing all the way around. And In my opinion, if they were going to leave anybody in, they would have made more money leaving Angela in. She's more of a person to irritate people. But, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. Nicole has been getting on my nerves the whole time. Like, she's been really irritating me. So I don't know what they're trying to do. But, oh, tomorrow, The Single Life Part 4, Tell All. Chantel is the whistleblower. So she's the one that said that she saw Jamal and Louisa at the hotel, which you both called early on. So we don't know what we don't know what they were doing in the hotel, but I mean, we know what goes on.
We know what they were doing in the hotel.
Yeah, so we're going to get a little insight on that. So Chantel is going to blow the whistle, and then obviously they're going to confront them about what's going on. But they're also going to confront Tim, and Louisa had some choice words about Tim and his sexuality, which I thought was a little crazy. You know, to call somebody out on national TV.
We always said that Tim's gay.
I think that that's wild to do. I thought we were past this in 2024, like questioning people's sexuality and then calling them out on TV. I thought we were past this.
You know, I would have said it if I was with somebody and they wouldn't give me the time of day and they claimed that they wanted me and they pursued me and they did me just like they did their other ex that was on TV. I'd have been like, I would have asked. When literally Kenny's husband said the same thing, questioned whether you were with his husband. So,
yeah. I mean,
there is nothing wrong with him being gay, but he's just denying it himself. He's denying it. He's, what do you call it? He's lying to himself. Because everybody knows he made it very clear whenever he went over there when he was on 90 Day Fiancé the first time. He made it very clear that he is not interested in women. He made it very clear.
I don't know why he keeps dating these women then. You know, like, and if that's the case, it's really wrong to lead a woman on and take her out on dates and make her feel like you're interested and then treat her like you're not interested. That is wrong. You know, so yeah. I guess I don't blame her for questioning him because she had genuine interest and he made her believe there was genuine interest and there was not. So
He pursued her. He approached her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's very in the wrong.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, I'm excited for part four. There's a part four and a part five. So we'll be back tomorrow for The Single Life part four. Then next week will be part five. Then the following week, we're going to be starting Love in Paradise, which I'm excited about. There's new couples and there's new drama. So I'm really excited about that because we've been dealing with too many of the same people over and over. So we got some new people to judge. So I'm excited about that. I got my gavel. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready to start judging these people and their decisions. So thank you guys. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Thank you to my co-host, Kara and Didi. Make sure you're following them both. They're tagged in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Masi, georgemasi.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Masi Show. And we'll be back tomorrow night to talk about The Single Life Part 4. All right, guys. Have a good night.
See you tomorrow.
Bye. Night. Bye. Bye-bye.